Well, life is not always predictable, is it? But God is always with us, and he loves us, and he wants us to trust and depend on him. That's what I get from that second reading. It's interesting the readings we get just before we get into all the comfort of the Christmas story and the hope of, you know, the birth of Jesus. We end up with this big controversial prophecy of Jesus saying that the temple and everything that the Jewish people held so dear and at the centre of their life would be destroyed. Now, this temple really was at the centre of their faith and their whole lives. It was up on a mountain, and people would go up to Jerusalem to worship because that's where you met God. It's like only meeting God at church, really. So they made this big trip to worship at the temple. And Jesus often went, and he just spent the last 3 weeks of his life hanging around the temple, really. He cleansed it. He wanted to cleanse it, and they didn't want him to. The Pharisees, the leaders of the day, didn't want him to cleanse the temple. And they started to predict Jesus' death, and at the same time, he predicts the destruction of their whole faith system, the whole culture. So he wasn't just saying this temple will be destroyed, but everything that you hold to dearly, everything your life is built around, and everything you cling to is going to be destroyed. And we know it was in 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus predicted the temple being destroyed. It actually was. It was desolated by the Roman army, and the faith system of the Jews has never been the same. But Jesus knew that he was the fulfillment that would take place, replace that temple and that structure and that culture. So anyone who came to faith in Jesus could carry on worshipping God, carry on in their faith and stand firm in their faith right to the end, no matter what would happen. But for those who actually held the temple and their cult system as their relationship with God have really suffered over the years. And so today I want us just to think about what we hold truly dearly and what our faith and trust is in. And when our whole world crumbles, how do we get through those times? Because let's face it, we've all faced it during COVID. Do you remember during COVID, I had so many people come to me and saying, this is the end of the world. The world is ending. Because when we struggle and when we suffer and when we lose all those things that make up our identity and the things that are part of our lives and truly meaningful to our core, when they're stripped away, people often think it's the end times and the end of the world. I don't know if you met many people during COVID saying this is the end is coming. But it happened during the change of the millennia. Remember, year 2000, everyone said, oh, our computers are going to be destroyed and the world's going to end because nothing can cope with three O's in it. It was just crazy times. But it's true, though, isn't it? When people's lives are devastated, they can easily think that it's the end of the world. But what do you do when your world crumbles? So if your hopes are dashed, if you fail a test that you really hoped you'd succeed at, if you lose a child or get really sick and lose your health or lose your job or struggle with addiction or get into legal trouble, where is your faith and your hope in those times? Now, I know I'm talking to the converted, and it's in Jesus Christ, and we are blessed to have all the biblical stories that point the way, that show us the way to truth faith. And so today I just want us to really think about trusting God in our really tough times, because he loves to create something new out of the most painful experiences. So you can think of the most painful devastation you've ever faced when you think it's all over and it's, you know, the end. That's where Jesus loves to come and create something new and bring an even more abundant life. He brings the most amazing abundance and new life from those darkest and most painful places. And his disciples needed to know that just before he was taken away from them. He's saying you don't need to actually depend on all that you've ever depended on. And don't trust in the beauty of the buildings that you worship in, because really the church is the people. And he taught them that their faith and their traditions weren't really that important in the whole scheme of things. And so I just want to actually just raise a point here in this congregation. I think I haven't been wearing robes for 4 weeks now, and I hope that hasn't been an issue to anybody in their worship of the Lord, because I choose to really draw people closer to God in worship. That is my heart's desire. I pray for you every week, and especially every Sunday morning, that you will just draw closer to God. And if me not wearing robes is a hindrance to your worship, that you can't worship God because I'm not wearing robes, then I will wear them for you. But if you can worship God because what I wear doesn't really matter, I just think it's much more accessible for newcomers and for unchurched people who come in, and younger people particularly, that I wear clothes that they can relate to. I'll still wear my collar. I'll still wear my robes next week when the bishop comes. And I have nothing against robes. I like robes. But I just want us to be a church that is open to meeting Jesus and it being about him, not so much about tradition. And so if you have any input into that conversation, I'd love to talk with you after the service over a cup of tea. I don't want to be offensive to anybody at all, but I just want to say I love you on us all to grow closer to Jesus, because it's all about him. Even if this building fell down, we'd still worship. We'd just go outside, or we'd hire another hall, because it's not about the temple. It's not about the structure. It's about Jesus and his place in our lives. And he needs to be the centre of it all. Yes? Let me pray. Jesus, you are everything to us. And when all else is stripped away, we know that you are there, and we know that you will come again. And at the end, all that matters is that we remain standing firm in our faith in you. And so grow that enduring faith in us, Lord, that we can just trust you unwavering. And even when it does waver, even when we doubt and afraid and unsure of what's going on and can't predict the future, we know you'll make a new way, and we can trust you in that. So bless us, Almighty God. Grow us in our faith in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I did just forget to mention, so I'll briefly mention now, that it's okay to waver in your faith sometimes. I remember my first class at Bible college. They just told me all this stuff about the Old Testament, which I didn't know before. And I had a very black and white faith before I went there. You know, God said this, this is the way the universe was created. And they told me that that was poetry, and they ripped all the Bible apart for me, and they didn't necessarily put it back together. And so I actually was really challenged in my faith. Well, if everything I thought I was believing isn't black and white, where does that leave me? But when you come through things like that and you wrestle with the big questions, our faith comes out even stronger in the end, which is a great encouragement. Bless you.